So, in the first half, we discussed conceptual overview, how scripture is relevant to this, the good and the bad. And we also went through some of the quote elite's own words. And of course, Operation Lockstep and many things that have proved everything has happened was documented and predicted. In this one, I want to go through the specifics now and show you what this agenda political framework actually is, how it works, what it says, and what's happening here in Montana. Now, this is, I feel like I'm not working anymore. I feel like I'm on a date and not getting my thing to work. It's working there, it's just not here. Like I maybe drank too much.
Try it again.
Okay. Nope. All right, I'm gonna continue anyway. So,
There you go. Oh, looks like it worked. Shutter down.
It's the global voices.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let me tell you guys about the hellish journey that I had to get here. And you can wonder for yourselves if there's spiritual interference or not. So I had my car serviced 10 days ago. Totally fine. Changed the tires. Got the oil changed. Everything's great. 2 hours from Sioux Falls, 8 hours from here. And on the freeway, and the car just starts slowing down. Like the soul of the car has been taken. No engine light comes on, nothing. And of course, it's like below zero. And I had to walk 2 miles to the garage to get the car towed in freezing weather, and I had to wait for 4.5 hours. This is yesterday. Car doesn't work, mystery reason. Bank card doesn't work, mystery reason. Eventually managed to get a rental, get on the road, and I arrived literally just a couple hours before this, so it took me about 24 hours to get here. Yeah, got the inflammation from the weather. For some reason, everything was messing up. And you guys can come to your own conclusions about whether it's just an accident or not, but Agenda 21 was signed in 1992. George H.W. Bush, this is bipartisan. This is also very important. At least at the federal level, it mostly is. At the state level and the local level, it is not, right? And this is why we have a very fortunate situation here where we have good people in government at the state and local level where we can actually repeal this. But at the DC level, always remember this was signed by George H.W. Bush. It also sort of makes sense why a lot of Republicans didn't like Trump, right? That most of them are on board the global governance agenda. So this was signed in 1992, and you may remember, if you haven't heard it, I recommend you go on YouTube and listen to it, where George H.W. Bush says, in 1992, at the signing of this, when we are successful with this new world order, and we will be, we have a real chance for the United Nations to regain its peacekeeping role as defender of the earth, right? New world order. President of the United States is telling you. They're all telling you. That's the crazy thing when people say, oh, this is crazy. Like, it's like right there. John F. Kennedy even said it. There is a ruthless, monolithic conspiracy. His words. And then people will just be like, oh, John F. Kennedy's crazy, obviously. So this was signed in 1992. It is a non-binding, what they call a non-binding treaty. And it's true, because it isn't implemented at the national level. It's implemented in your city. And that's how they've gotten this far. So, saving the world from climate change, right? That's what this was brought into effect for. To put this in simple terms, the centralization of land, water, and air, right? We need to manage natural resources. And if we do, we will be able to save the earth from climate change. And you think on the surface, that sounds reasonable. The caller in the radio show this morning wanted to tell me misinformation, right? I said to him, it sounds great. Sustainable development sounds great. I don't want to pollute the earth. I would love to keep our nature, of course. I mean, to be conservative, you actually have to conserve things. But the problem is, this isn't that. This is giving away your power to global governance. And we'll prove it. What is Agenda 21? This is the document that the United Nations wrote up. This is not conjecture. This is not my opinion. This is happening. Government. Governments are required to improve or reshape the processes of decision-making in order to achieve the progressive integration of economic, social, and environmental issues. In the pursuit of development that is economically efficient, socially equitable, and responsible and environmentally sound. So what they're saying here is governments are required to act within these parameters. We're going to set out conditions that your government must act in. And if it doesn't meet the standards of your people, of your Bill of Rights, that doesn't matter. Because this is the standard. Economics. Strategies for combating poverty include various chapters of Agenda 21, in particular poverty, demographics, and human settlements. This is really, really important. We're going to come to this shortly. Human settlements. Think the Hunger Games. And I'm not joking. Strategies for alleviating poverty should not be only geographically and ecologically specific, but it should be concerning ecosystems. What this basically means about economics is they want you to stay in a, what they call a human settlement zone, which is that smart city we looked at. You can't leave. You have to stay because travel is bad for the environment. You're not going to be able to go anyway because we destroyed your global economy. That one has already happened in the last 2 years. Agriculture, participation of major groups in decision-making. This is really important because, again, food, especially in this part of the country and where I live in South Dakota, of course, it's just cornfields, everything for cornfields for miles. I broke down in a cornfield and I was like, this is the most South Dakota thing, break down in a cornfield. So, but agriculture is where we get our food. Our farmers provide our food. Now, but it goes beyond that. It's about control of the food, control of the land. So what they're saying here is businesses, industry, farmers, NGOs, we're going to get to those. Sustainable agriculture and rural development, they will set the major objectives. So what they're saying, same thing as all of these. They will set the parameters for government. They will set the parameters for the economy, and they will set the parameters for the food production. It's all there in black and white. It's all in their treaties, all in their biodiversity assessment reports, because that's how you control people. So what they say it is, in their own words, national implementation of Agenda 21. The US implementation of the United Nations Global Governance Framework, Human Settlement Zones, City, Region, States. Climate regulation against any and all property, free market, and free movement rights. So this is what it will look like if this goes as far as they want to go by 2030. The end of national sovereignty, control of our money, laws, and borders. The end of privacy, the end of private property, the end of free enterprise and cash, and the end of gun rights and adequate self-defense laws. Now, what's really important, I suppose I should get the elephant in the room out of the way. I have like 6 guns, so I am big on guns, just in case you guys need to know. Because people are like, I don't trust him until I know he's got guns, with that accent. I have plenty of guns. So, all right. So we got that one out of the way, we'll all be friends now. Control of resources, land, water, and air, that's what basically this means. And if you think this through, much of, like I said, the European Union is halfway to this already. They already don't have a border. We don't have a border, right? That's the end of your national sovereignty. Privacy is basically gone, but in this case, it would be gone even to the consumption level, as we talked about, metering everything. Property rights is going to be a tough one. It sounds tough, but again, if we look at the Prairie Reserve, we look at some of these things, it isn't as tough as you might think. Because all that happens is they come across and they buy and they purchase and they monopolize everything. And then you just don't have the property rights because there's nothing to get. Also, bearing in mind that because they just destroyed the global economy by tricking people into 2 years of restrictions and lockdowns, a lot of people are going to lose a lot. So that is what we're looking at. Agenda 2030 came along in 2015, and this one was signed by Barack Obama. And he signed Agenda 2030, again, non-binding treaty. The whole point here was, by 2030, we want to achieve many of these milestones, right? And essentially what that means is, Agenda 21 is the 21st century, so this is the whole plan from the year 2000 to the year roughly 2050. But 8 years from now, we want to achieve some major milestones, which basically is the bullet points we just looked at. 8 more years. So this is not a replacement. This basically says our target goal is by 2030 to achieve some of these things. And here's what Agenda 2030 says. Government, we are determined to mobilize the means required to implement this agenda through a revitalized global partnership. Remember, fascism, partnership, public, private, comes together. Global, too, not national. Sustainable development, based on a spirit of strengthened global solidarity. Global, global, global. Stakeholders in red, and that's really critical because we're going to come to that in Missoula in a bit. Right? So important that you really, really etch this one into your brain. Global partnership, sustainable development, and stakeholders, because you're going to see how this is being implemented at the local level soon. Economics, we recognize that eradicating poverty in all its forms and dimensions, including extreme poverty, is the greatest global challenge. Interesting, isn't it? Because they never define, this is really critical, they never define what eradicating poverty means. For example, most people have this perception, and this is how they trick people with linguistics. Most people have a perception, you go, okay, eliminating poverty, that means that everyone will be given stuff. But of course, eliminating poverty basically just means we've wiped out the middle class. Right? Because like, hey, there's no poverty because there's no inequality because we made everyone poor. Which of course is what we've been going through the last couple of years. And you know, they've propped it up with debt, but that doesn't work. And we're gonna find out, right? So it's important because that's why I knew in March 2020 what the protocols they were using for COVID-19 were just these, under the guise of a virus, not climate change. But it's the same protocols, and they're just going to go back to climate change soon anyway. So this is very important. Stakeholders, collaborative partnership, implementation, sustainable development. Agriculture, again, sustainable consumption production, sustainably managing natural resources. This is your American prairie, sustainably managing natural resources. We're going to manage the resources because we know better than you because we're smart, you're not, and therefore we're going to control the resources for the betterment of the climate. Just so happens to be, though, that if you need to use the land, you know, you'll have to lease it from us. And if you're a dissident, if you attended a certain rally, if you like a certain person, we just won't let you have access. So, the major milestone. Sustainable definition means not free market economics, as we've talked about. It means centralized use of resources. It means that your food production will be controlled by corporate stakeholders and your local governments. It also means development is property movement heavily regulated by the state. So the development means we control, of course, how things are going to develop. So your property, your movement, we're going to control how that's going to transform. We'll decide whether you can expand or not. We'll decide whether you can move or not. And the sustainable means that there will be no premise of free market underneath. What it would look like in reality is enforced closure of non-sustainable businesses. Again, the last 2 years. Shouldn't be surprising. I mean, if they could shut your business down for 0.1% fatality rate, what do you think they'll do when they think they are saving the world? So it's not a leap to think that if they can do it for COVID, this is way bigger to them. The climate stuff is way bigger to these people, even to most people you know who bought into both narratives. Because the climate thing is earth worship. It is a religion. It is the worshiping of the creation and not the creator. And it's really important. Don't get me wrong, I love earth. I do. I love nature. I hug trees. I do. I love feeling the spirit of God in nature because God created the earth before us, right? So his spirit's in that too. But I don't worship it. Now, the point is, though, is that they have a really deep, devout love for this narrative of climate change. So when they're doing the switch, and they will, and they are, and power outages and things like that happen, like lockdowns, to create that trauma we talked about, it will not be difficult at all to shut down what they deem non-sustainable businesses. Not at all. It will if we make it difficult for them. That's why I'm here. That's why I stood outside for 5 hours in minus 19 degrees to get here, because they're not infallible. They can be stopped, and we're going to get to that too. So, sustainable development goals, Agenda 2030. Here's what it looks like. We reaffirm the commitments for Agenda for Sustainable Development. So you can see this kind of circle over here. We talked about human settlement zones. That's the Smart City Initiative. So basically, this is you. And within this, they will control every area of your life: governance, environment, economy, public policy. These are your sustainable development goals. Let me just go through a few. There's too many to go into detail. First one, no poverty, we just discussed. Destroy the economy, make everyone poor. Here's a good one, number three, good health and well-being. The reason I knew mandatory vaccinations were coming, and granted, obviously, they've been kind of struck down, but the reason I said to Tim Stark, the Yellowstone chair in 2020, that they were coming is because it's part of the Agenda 2030 framework here. This number three, good health and well-being, basically means that by 2030, they want every single person on Earth vaccinated. So that's how these things tie into where we are. Number five, gender equality. What that basically means is destroy the family unit. It doesn't mean equality. We have gender equality. It means that we don't want Christian Western families anymore. Now, that might be controversial, but I've read their books. Most people that say that's not true haven't. So this is the point. Each of these leads to the implementation of Agenda 2030, which is total control. Here's how the implementation, the hierarchy, actually works. When I started this project, and the reason that I was invited to the GOP convention last year was because if we're really going to fight this thing seriously, which we're going to, then we really need to know how it actually works, right? Because so far we've talked about people of power who say certain things. We've looked at the treaties, but how does it actually get implemented? How are they going to take this idea of a great reset into a reality? This is how. So the Rockefeller Foundation, through the United Nations, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, through the United Nations Convention for Climate Change and the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, they put PR, so media attention and money, into these organizations. Paris Climate Accord, same thing, and it filters down to these two organizations. One is called United Cities and Local Governments, and another is called the New Urban Agenda. So, what this basically means is, United Cities and Local Governments, they have people that go to every major city on Earth and ensure that this hierarchy is implemented, this treaty is implemented. The New Urban Agenda ensures that we're moving people out of rural areas closer to cities, to urban areas. Because living rurally is unsustainable. Because you use more gas in the car. Because you produce more food. Now, of course, this is all nonsense. But the point is that it's easier for them to control you in urban areas. This is how it works inside America. United Nations Habitat 3, that is essentially the New Urban Agenda. This is your human settlement zones. When I get to the map, you'll understand what all of that actually means. ICLEI, you can see up here, this is Missoula. That is where ICLEI are in Montana. There's only a few states in America that don't have any. South Dakota is, of course, one of them. But most places, and it's grown since this screenshot was taken, most places have these posted in their cities, in their states. So this ICLEI organization is taking the prior hierarchy we just looked at, and making sure these cities implement that. The US Department of Transportation and the Federal Highway Admission actually fund these organizations, councils of governments and metropolitan planning organizations. Councils of governments basically say to your state your state representatives, if you want federal funds, you need to adopt climate initiatives. Metropolitan planning organizations say, if you want to do business in the area, you need to adopt climate initiatives. One's government, one's business. So this is the hierarchy of how we start to see it actually be implemented in your city. How it works: council governments, regulation, metropolitan planning organizations, infrastructure. So this is Arizona. I took this when I was in Arizona, but it applies every state. They're breaking up the state lines and creating new regions. And basically, these three spots here out of three cities that they would want to make these human settlement zones in Arizona, and the same here. In the case of here, it would be centered around Missoula and Helena. So the idea is to draw up new locations, draw up a new jurisdiction. So I think it goes without saying that obviously this is anti-constitutional and anti-freedom. Let's look. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution states, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and the application of the legislature or the executive. So the republican form of government is very important, right? Because this is not constitutional, it is illegal, really. This is not a republican form of government at all. This isn't even an elected form of government because, you know, that what they're saying is, well, your city council, and we'll get to that shortly with Missoula, is, you know, implementing this. But they're implementing it based on a global treaty. It isn't a local initiative. So here's where things might get a bit heavy, but it's important. This America 2050 map was created by the United Nations. They don't have the website up anymore, but you can find it. It was called America2050.org. On the left here is the current mega regions. This is the population and business centers in America. What they essentially want to do is make America as a nation these regions, only those regions. All of that space where I live over here in South Dakota and you live in Montana is blank for a reason. They don't want people here at all by 2050. So they're going to move everybody into those mega regions. You might think, well, that's insane. They're not going to be able to do that. They won't if we stop them. But let me just play devil's advocate. You go down, let's say it's 2029. You go down to your gas station, try to buy gas. Doesn't give you any gas. We don't deliver gas to this area anymore. Okay? Go home, your water shut off. We don't supply water to this area anymore. We don't supply any services. We're not going to redo your roads. You have no money for schools, so you're going to have to move. We're not going to force you. They're not going to come by gunpoint. They're far too sophisticated for these sort, and they can't anyway because we have more guns than they do. So they're doing it this way. They just extract all of the finances, all of the influence from this area, from my area, from any area that is not that mega region, forcing people to move. Remember, this was created by the United Nations, not by me. So that is their vision of the future. I want people really to think about how serious this is. This is the most important issue you'll ever see in your lifetime, apart from your relationship with your creator. If this isn't stopped, this will cause devastation that will make the last 2 years look like amazing. This is going to be resettlement. This is going to be mass poverty. This is going to be a lot of hunger and a lot of decimation if we allow them to do this. And the reason is because they want to control that land. This is the map from the United Nations Biodiversity Assessment Report. This is really important. The red is little to no human use. The yellow is highly regulated use. So the red, nobody's allowed to live in. That just happens to be a lot of Montana and a lot of the heartlands and a lot of the whole country, especially on the west side. This is because this is where all the natural resources. So they created this, and this is obviously about protection of biodiversity. That's what they're saying. If we do not protect the wildlife, we do not protect nature, you know, the world is going to end through climate change. That's their justification. And those mega regions would be these turquoise bits here, these little blue and green bits where we're allowed to live. You would not be able to travel in the red at all, and you'd be able to travel in the yellow, highly restricted. And again, you think that sounds nuts, but that's been many people's lives the last 2 years. You haven't had a map for it. Most people in Australia couldn't go more than like 5 kilometers. I think they use kilometers there, from their house. Right? I mean, this is the reality of a lot of the world right now. You know, it's like you can't get into most countries, and even within their own countries, they can't travel. So this is just a map to show what kind of has already happened on a lesser level, but it still happened. They've done this restriction of use and this restriction of access already. So this is the future if we don't stop it. They will take this land. They will take everything that many people worked, bled, and died for. This came from the United Nations. This came, like as it says right there, the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity. They created this stuff. That's why I said the first half, I was giving you conceptual overview. Nothing in this second half, and I mean not a single slide, is conjecture. Not my opinion, nothing, none of it. This is all fact. They created this. Bearing in mind that the European Union is kind of halfway to this already. As I said, so is much of the world. But should it really surprise people? Western supposed liberal democracies are forcing vaccinations into people right now. Germany, Austria, Australia. You can't leave your house in many of these places still. You can't travel even interstate in some of these countries. So it really shouldn't surprise you after the last couple of years. But this is the reality. This is what they want to do. Given you the background, showed you the people, showed you what they've said, showed you the treaties. They have $125 trillion invested in sustainable development. They're not going to give that up unless we stop them. Here's Missoula, 2030. So we've gone through the hierarchy from start to finish. And we've kind of showed how this works on a global level from Agenda 21, 2030, really from before that, from the Rockefeller Foundation, and then the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and then Agenda 21 in 2030, and then we'd land here. So I showed you in their treaties how they explained how they want to get corporate stakeholders, sustainable development into carbon neutral. Well, here's your carbon neutral right here, 100% clean energy by 2030. What are the odds that the year would be 2030? Why is it 2030 in every major city in the world? Because it isn't Missoula County's memorandum. It's the United Nations Agenda 2030, implemented through this. ICLEI, we went through. Climate Action Stakeholder. Here are your corporate stakeholders. First Interstate Bank, Northwestern Energy. Climate Smart Missoula is the NGO. And then boom, you have it implemented. And by 2030, no one in that area will be able to produce carbon dioxide. And we already went through how actually devastating that is. Because on the surface, people go, well, you know, it's just like battery cars and stuff. But we just went through. It means total decimation of the way we live. A third of our energy, our cars, our manufacturing, our agriculture. Don't forget you breathe carbon dioxide. How many of us do they want gone? So this is the reality. This has been implemented already. By the way, this has already been signed into law. So at this point, you know, in these parts, in Billings, for example, we have an opportunity to block. But in most of America, we're already too late to block. It has to be repealed. We're already too late to stop it. We have to peel it back in most places. So this was signed in 2020, and it'll be in official law in 2030. And you'll find this in every major city in the world. And some are more draconian than others, some are more totalitarian than others. They are as totalitarian as they can get away with, depending on their population. Prairie Reserve, 3.2 million acres of private land. So Tim and Dick asked me to look at this one. I hadn't really obviously known about it before. And the funny thing is, now that we've been through this journey, we've looked at the conceptual overview, right? Like I showed you about how they want to build this Tower of Babel global society. And it's funny because once you have this context, you'll see how none of these things are actually by accident. And we'll find out with the CEO here in a second. So they say their main focus is to purchase and permanently hold private lands, right? To conserve. The region is managed thoughtfully, collaboratively. They use great language. They use always really nice language. It wouldn't work, would it, if they said, we're stealing the land so we can starve you if you dissent. It's not a good selling point. So, you know, they do well. They have a good PR. But the reality is what they're essentially saying here is that they are controlling 3.2 million acres of public land, which means, okay, so if you want to hunt, right, or now they have to lease the land to you. They own the cattle. They own the water resource. Sustainable Development owns it. Rockefeller Foundation owns it. Take the land and lease some of it. Bill Gates owns 244,000 acres. Bill Gates, I think, and Ted Turner was the founder of CNN. That tells you everything you need to know about him. Bill Gates owns a lot. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The pattern is the same. While most people were buying up Bitcoin, the most powerful people in the world were buying up land. That should tell you where the real investments are. CEO Bill Helfe. Now, I don't know anything about Bill Helfe. This isn't personal. It's just an observation because I am who I am. Right, and let's look at, when we look at everything we just talked about, doesn't this make a lot of sense? When we looked at technocracy, when we looked at transhumanism, when we looked at how sustainable development is really nothing to do with land conservation, but is to do with transforming society. Well, Bill Helfe's career spans more than 20 years, and he's worked for organizations such as Microsoft. Isn't that interesting? He's a CEO of a project management firm with the co-founder of Microsoft. So Bill Gates is a primary villain in this story, of course. This guy happens to be managing with the co-founder of Microsoft, but it gets weirder. He also serves as the chair of the Allen Institute for Artificial Intelligence and Humanity 2.0. What, if you didn't have the context we've just discussed in the last couple hours, it wouldn't make sense, would it? You'd be like, what's humanity and transhumanism got to do with sustainable development? But now that we've discussed that context, I hope now you start to see why, because it's not about the land, this is about transforming society. It's about technocracy. And sustainable development is just a PR term used to steal the natural resource and the economic production of every nation on Earth. That's why this guy, who's supposed to be close to nature, is a board for Artificial Intelligence Humanity 2.0. Come a long way from tree-hugging hippies, right? So these are the people. And the patterns are there. Project Recode, we had in Billings here. Don't have a lot on this. I just want to point something out because, again, it's the same pattern. You'll see here, Project Recode, if you are to build, if you are to do business, sustainable development measures. Now, when we talk about the sustainable credit system, sustainability credit score, what's really important about this is you see it kind of playing out in these projects, in these zoning rules, but this will become independent. For example, here, certified green building measures 3 points, right? So you have to earn points, sustainable development points, to be able to operate under the zoning rules. This is how it's done. So we just looked at the politics, business. Now, what's really important about this is that those points will be applied to you too one day, probably around 2025 if they can get it done in time. Same thing, individuals will be treated the way that this is. If you do not meet sustainable development requirements, you will gain or lose points. So the whole point of this is to make sure that it's extremely difficult for any business that they don't want, that isn't on board the agenda, to do business. So Build Back Better bill. It's funny because the Build Back Better, of course, was Great Reset, Klaus Schwab's term, and then every leader in the world started saying it. That should be enough for people to say there's obviously coordination going on, right? Boris Johnson, United Kingdom, of course, just President Bieber in Canada. We have President Houseplant in America. Build Back Better bill. So they're all using this term, Build Back Better, because it's about Agenda 2030. Again, so Build Back Better is the Great Reset term, right? Again, we know this. So why is it 30 by 30? Why was Biden's plan 30 by 30? That year always comes up. It's always 2030. It's because that's when most of this is supposed to be implemented globally. And you can see it in different strands. So one person will see just this strand and see 2030 as an isolated thing. Someone else will see, you know, clean energy Missoula 2030 and see it as an isolated thing. But when we've gone through the journey we've gone through, you see that it's all connected. So Build Back Better actually was first used by Bill Clinton in 2006 to get over the, I believe it was one of the tsunamis. So they put, through this Build Back Better bill, they put $500 billion to fight climate change and fund sustainable development industry and disincentivize funding from, you know, quote, non-sustainable, which basically means working and middle-class business models. So this Build Back Better bill has essentially slipped in much of this on the federal level, even though most of it is still happening locally. They have managed to get some of it through federally. So what this basically means is, again, more restrictions if you're not, quote, sustainable, less restrictions if you are. And what this basically is death by a thousand cuts, right? So essentially what it means is that through different points of attention, so regulation here, regulation there, you're just unable to do business anymore. And that's before the hammer really comes down in 2030 when they will just shut non-sustainable stuff down. We also have 30 by 30. Biden's executive order established a national goal to conserve 30% of US lands and fresh water in 2030. Isn't that interesting? Now if we go back to our, this, does it not make sense? 30% of the land starts to become a lot more realistic. This is signed as an executive order. So, a global deal for nature, it's just Agenda 2030. They are all playing out this program. So, what can we do about it? Well, as I did explain at the beginning, in many places we're too far gone to block. We have to repeal now. Right? There's really nothing we can do in many cities across America. If we don't repeal, what's going to happen is by 2030, many of America's major cities are going to operate on completely different laws and rules and essentially won't be part of this country anymore. Right? So you could think of it like the Roman Empire was city-states. So the Roman Empire wasn't conquering nations. It was city-states across Europe and some of Asia. And those city-states were controlled, of course, by Rome. Well, that's kind of what we're looking at here. We're looking at city-states that will be controlled by the United Nations legislation. And, you know, it's not like it has to be some mastermind sitting in a chair. It doesn't. It can be an algorithm. It can be an app. All that matters is that those major cities are aligned to that order, and then they operate on those rules. It doesn't have to be some kind of, like, coming together of an oligarchy. The important thing to understand, though, is that those cities would be essentially excavated from the way that we work and operate now. So we need to repeal Agenda 2030 legislation, and the formula for that is the City 2030 Sustainable Development. And you'll find it pretty much anywhere in the world. That's how far-reaching it is. So in this case, Missoula 2030, but you know, the San Francisco Bay Area's Plan 2030, we have Canada Horizon 2030, et cetera, so it's everywhere. So we need to repeal that, we need to put a block on that. People often say, well, you know, we don't want to ban things, right? We don't want to, but we do actually, because if we're not conserving our way of life for our children, I don't really, like, what are you doing? What's more important? You know, people say, oh, that's kind of anti-freedom, the block it. I'm like, no, the point of government is to retain your freedom. They are the ones stealing your land and your freedom and your resources. And if you don't ban them from doing it, they're going to continue to do it. And they'll be like, hey, libertarians, that's great, right? And then suddenly you don't have any land. You don't have an economy anymore. We're halfway there already. You know, and this is the reality. You know, it's why, such as the governor here, such as governor in Florida, when you ban mandatory vaccinations, that's the kind of stuff you actually have to do to protect freedom. You have to step in with force to stop someone who's trying to kill you. Well, in a similar sense here, we must put a block on sustainable development 2030 at every state across the country. Because if we don't, we're going to lose a ton more than we lost in the last couple of years. And the effects of that have not even really been felt yet. Another thing we can do is a Bill of Rights sanctuary state. The states that are most affected, the rights that are most affected will be 4, privacy, 5, property, of course 8, which would be courts, and 10, which is power to the people in the states. We have a lot of Second Amendment sanctuaries, but the reality is this agenda affects the others much, much more. Right? You might have a gun, but you don't have access to fuel anymore because you live in the wrong area, because you haven't moved to the mega region. And your schools aren't funded and no ammo. Yeah, they don't need to ban guns, right? They just restrict the supply. And that's a very important model to understand when they do this whole program. Except they're not going to come and try to like take people by force off their land. They'll just shut the power off. Right? So, but again, we have to remember these people operate within rules. It's not like they just came into this country and took it over. They've been publicly working through a treaty for decades. So the good news about that is it can be stopped politically without need for anything other than just blocking this stupid. I was going to say a swear word that I'm not going to say. So that's what we need to do. And I think for us at this point, one of the things that I most want to see is just move the paradigm on this issue. Right, so there's a lot of talk about mandates. There's a lot of talk about COVID tyranny, and those things are really important. I've been doing a lot of work on those things. But we have to take that step and move towards the final end game. In a similar way, when Trump came into power, conservatives prior to Trump would always just say, I'm pro Second Amendment and anti-abortion. And I completely align with those things. But that's not enough. Right? So when Trump came in and said, I'm those things, but also I want manufacturing to come back, and I want us to have a border, what you started to see is you go, oh, so finally the paradigm has shifted to more than just the two buzzwords they say every single time to get a vote. Well, similarly, we have to do that again now. We have to shift the narrative again away from just those issues to this major issue, global governance. In the same way that Trump changed the paradigm, we have to change it. Again, our enemy is global governance. Our enemy is them centralizing everything on Earth and trying to consolidate the power. And our job is to try to do it, and we're beginning this in Montana, I hope. It's why we're here, it's why I'm here. Our job is not far off what the founders of this country did. And I was talking about when Thomas Paine came from England and fought the very people he just came from. And the reason he did that is because he saw the bright future that we had in this country. Now, what I want us to do is to bear in mind that our fight isn't even really like Trump's. It isn't like any. It's actually more like theirs. We're fighting the most satanic, psychopathic, evil, most powerful people the world has ever seen. They invested $125 trillion into this project. King George III had $1 billion. For comparison, when the founding fathers fought. So it's very important we understand that this is the enemy, not your enemy, not my enemy, the enemy, humanity's enemy. And it's our job to lead humanity out of the darkness by leaving global governance before it starts. We're going to pull ourselves away. We're going to sail away on our lifeboat before the Titanic hits the iceberg. And to do that, we really need to talk to people and make sure this is the paradigm. Global governance. Everything else is secondary. God bless you all. Thank you very much.